Hello. Welcome to Radio Gorgeous.
Oh,
Today,
thanks so much for having me.
yes, we have Kitty Murphy, who is the author of Death in Heels, a Dublin drag mystery. First, I'm going to ask you to introduce us to Death in Heels. Tell us about the book.
Hi. Well, thanks ever so much for having me. Death in Heels, it's the first in a series of murder mysteries set in a fictional, very fictional Dublin drag scene. So it's a little bit camp, it's a little bit sparkly, a little bit murdery. It's about, at the core of it, is a friendship between two people. And we have Fee, and she's quite quiet. She works in a shop. She loves photography. She loves bridges. She has a blog. And her best friend, Robin. And he's a star. And his main passion is drag. And the book begins on his first night as maybe the drag queen, her first performance. And it goes really well. Obviously, he's quite nervous. Fee's there. And they're all celebrating. And at the end of the night, Eve, another performer from the group, takes May's dress and May's wig and May's shoes and does the performance and sort of lampoons the performance. It's quite a cruel portrayal. And there's no one there who's particularly fond of Eve. Eve is a nasty little witch. And she's thrown out of the club. And later that night, when Fee is on her way home, she stumbles over Eve's dead body. And so we begin.
Dum, dum, dum. Which I love that juxtaposition, because Eve is so nasty and vile. And she has all the classic things. She's gorgeous, but she's a bitch.
Yeah.
So this sets up the sort of a lot of the tension in the book, because on one hand, yes, there's been a murder, but lots of people had it out for her. And lots of other people are quite ambivalent about the fact that she's been been murdered.
Sure, that was what was so important for me in Fee, in that Fee was really bothered that Eve wasn't getting justice for her murder. I mean, Fee doesn't like Eve any more than anybody else. And there's really no one in that group whose life isn't better without Eve. Not that they want her to be dead, but, you know, she's not a great person. But it's really important to Fee in the way that I see. I mean, if you had a Miss Marple character, you need them to really care about justice and about the right thing to happen. There's no point in if they just say, well, she could be murdered. She might not be, but, you know, whatever. She needed to be passionate about that.
So, yes, which one of her nicknames that she dislikes, she has several, Fee. She doesn't like any of them. But so she does come to earn her first nickname, Hagatha Christie.
Agatha Christie. That's when Robin calls her that, it's not particularly fond at the time. It's a little bit bitchy. And it touches a nerve, I think.
It does. And I wanted to ask you about that, because Agatha Christie put me in the mind of an old-fashioned term for, you know, women who hang out with gay men, fag hags, which isn't really, I don't know if it's in fashion anymore or not. However, Fee has another nickname, or something she's called frequently by the sort of drag den mother. And she's called, oh, you're the little straight girl. And to me, that had the same ring and the same sort of negative connotations of fag hag.
Well, the little straight girl term is very much from, it's only from Thora, from the drag queen who owns and runs the club and who's very much, you say, the matriarch of that family. And it isn't a term that's meant friendly. It's, and it also, nobody's asked Fi if she's straight. Nobody's saying, you know, and asked that at all. But it's an assumption, and it's a term used in quite a sort of a dig. And so, no, Fi doesn't like it. She's like, what about Fi? Call me Fi.
Because it's interesting, because, and I think it's something also like contemporary tensions between people who feel marginalized, and then marginalize other people as well. So there's always, there's a bit of tension in that. And it's, again, it feeds into the tensions and the plot as Fi is trying to find out what's going on.
Sure. I think anytime we use a slur, whether it's used in a fond manner, in inverted commas, or in taking ownership of that slur, or whether it's used in hatred and violence, it's there. You can't get away from it. It just sits there in the room. And I mean, Haggatha, that is, you know, taking that term. But they're words that are used within the community. I think we have to be careful who uses which words. It's definitely there. But there's a lot of nods to the community throughout the book with little words and terms that are used. There are plenty of nods to Agatha Christie in the same way.
So tell me a little bit more about that. Is this in any way from autobiographical experience? Are you Fi?
Oh, sure. Oh, no, I'm not Fi at all. No, I'm no, afraid not. I have friends in the drag community, but I grew up, I'm bi, I'm very out bi, and I spent a lot of time in the queer community when I was younger. I'm very much part of that community now. I spent a lot of time in drag clubs when I was younger, which we can now look at as valuable research rather than wild, wild times. I love drag. I just love it. I love the magic and the sparkle and the life. And I love watching not just drag queens, but drag kings, non-binary performers, all different forms of drag. And you see a performer take the stage and it's like all the light in the room is there. And it's just an incredible power. And anyone with great stage presence has that. I mean, anywhere you go where, you know, a great musician, a great actor, a great performer. But I just get that real zing from drag. So I love it. And I wanted Fi to have the same passion of watching. As I'm not a performer. I'm not someone to be on stage. But I really like being there in the audience and watching. Whereas Robin was always going to be a star.
Yes. Well, I have to say, hand in air, that the very first time I felt my son move in me, I was watching RuPaul on stage at Wigstock.
Wow. Okay, well, that's quite something. That's quite something. So you saw Ru and Lady Bunny and...
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah. Head of lettuce.
Oh, yeah, fantastic. Yeah. My early drag days would be Lily Savage and Regina Fong and London and yeah.
Fantastic. Yeah. Birds of a feather. Okay. So that leads me to a couple of other things. Mm-hmm. One, I noticed that you're very au fait with the use of pronouns. Both for, because some of your, I thought it was really interesting. Del is another drag queen.
Yeah.
And his pronouns, when in drag and performing, are still him and his.
Yeah.
And others. And I thought that was a really interesting, and it's not made a point of, it's just a point.
Well, I want my writing to reflect the life that, you know, that we live, and people have different pronouns, and that's how it is. There are some drag queens who perform as he, him, some as she, her, some as they, them, some drag kings who are he, him, some who are they, them, some, you know, I wanted to really just to keep that within the text. It does get a little confusing sometimes when you're trying to, he said, she said, they said, you said, you don't, you know, But yeah, it's just normal life now, I think.
I think so too. And I also think that you did a really good job of that. I didn't find that there was any confusion in that. But going to that drag performance life, was there any part of you that was concerned about appropriation, for example, of, you know, it's not your lived experience, so that, you know, I don't mean to say lived experience is
I'm with you.
But you know what I mean? Yeah. Was there any hesitation on your part in regards to that?
I think that's why it was so important for me to write about a character who loves watching drag, as I'm a character who loves watching drag. Fee's not part of the central circle of people. She sits on the outside looking in. I sit on the outside looking in. I'm not Fee in any way, but that is a position that I get. I know, I live it. I'm there every Sunday I can be in Dublin. I'm watching the performers on stage. So is Fee. There's a lot I can relate to in there. There's a lot that I can put in of my own experience, even though I've tried to be really careful that none of the characters are me. I'm not Fee. I'm not a murderer. I'm not a drag queen. I'm not any of the people. But we use our own experiences. But yeah, it was really important to me. And we had two sensitivity readers, and I talked with a number of my drag performing friends, and I've run this past them, and they've read the book. It was really important to get the place right.
And it's so fun because I think we're all familiar with drag performers in the visual arts, from Kaja Fall, Victor Victoria. You know, people think it's just Drag Race, but it's been in the popular culture, you know, for forever.
Yeah.
It is, you know, there is a big renaissance with Drag Race, etc. But I don't know if there are any sort of literary representations. Did you find any others?
I think this is one of those books that I wrote because I wanted to read it. I love crime fiction. I love drag. So I pulled the two together. It was always going to be this way for me, that writing a series of murder mysteries that I could, you know, just as soon as I had the idea, I just loved the idea so much. I was straight in there. I think it's there. There are references, but you're right. Drag's become very much commercialized in the last 10, 15 years. It's changed a lot. Drag was never meant to be nice when I was young. It's a very different thing now. And it's nice that there's everything for everyone. There's all different forms of drag, from, you know, from RuPaul to Bunny on stage late at night in New York.
Absolutely. So tell me about your journey to writing. So, I mean, were you writing before this kismet of an idea came together, or is this your first outing?
I think I've always written. I wrote my first book when I was 8. It was terrible. But I love stories. So I've always read a lot, and it just seemed very natural for me to write things. I'd write letters to my friends and they'd be 15 pages long, and, you know, I'd tell them everything that had happened. So I think things through as I write. And I tried a few things here and there. And then when we got to the pandemic, I missed my friends so much. We all did. I think it's that found family thing, that we could have our small bubbles around us, but that found family of the people we only see once a month, but they matter so much to us. We couldn't see any of them. We're all sat at home. And I was really feeling the missing of that, of them. And I was missing live drag and live shows. And in a conversation with my agent at the time, still my agent now, but a conversation at the time with my agent, we were talking and I had this idea, and he just said, oh, you've got to write this. And that was that.
Okay. And so it does say, and you have mentioned, Dublin Drag Mystery Series.
Yes. Series. Okay. Oh, yes. So
series. We can, like Agatha before you, are we going to have many more?
Oh, I hope so. We have, so the first Death in Heels is out now. The second one, Death in the Dark, that's out in April. The third one I'm writing at the moment, and I have a whiteboard on the wall up there with another and another and another. I'm in this. I love these characters. I love spending time with them. I really want to do more and more of these books. We'll see how it goes. We'll see if people like them.
So they're another, your characters are sort of another form of found family.
Yeah, very much. That was so important to me as well in the book, was having that core of, you know, the friendship, the love of the found family and the group together. And it's not just Fee and Robin who are so close. There's Del as well, who's a very good friend of theirs. And Thora Point, she is the stern matriarch, but she's part of the family. And Miss Merkin, she's very much there too. They're all there.
Wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. Tell me about Dublin. Because Dublin seemed almost, and the muddy river almost seemed a character in the book.
Oh, I'm so glad. That's such a lovely thing to hear. Thank you. Again, I love Dublin. The river's a big part of the city. It's a small town in a big pair of heels. It's wonderful, Dublin. It's such character to the streets, to the place. It's a city. It has its ups and downs, but yeah, I love Dublin. I love the grayness, and I love the color that you find between that.
I like that. So the people sort of provide the color. Dublin provides
very
the palette,
much.
And the people provide the color. Lovely.
Yeah, I mean, I guess in the same way as like New York is so loud and so bright and so in your face, and Dublin is London is so big. It's just endlessly big and tall. And Dublin doesn't kind of seem to need that. Dublin's all right, you know.
So what has meant writing this? Obviously, you have been swept into this world along with your characters. But what has it meant to you as a person?
It's meant everything. To have that book, my first book there, and last week I saw it on the shelves there in my local bookshop, Banner Books, and I just walked past the window and I saw it in the window, and then I went in and there it is on the shelves, and that's my book. And that was just this incredible moment. It was so exciting. It's meant a great deal. It's a huge dream for me. And I've been so lucky. I mean, it's hard work. Everyone knows it's, you know, any of these things are hard work, but just so lucky to have a really brilliant agent. And then Hannah Bond from Thomas and Mercer, she completely fell in love with us. And to work with her, and then Leodora Darlington, the second editor, and now with Kasim Mohammed, and they've all really got it. And I think I'm so lucky for that as well, to have so much support for that.
It's another found family.
Yeah, absolutely. Publishing family, absolutely. We were at, we had the launch about a month and a half ago, and I was looking around the room, and I was seeing, and there were some drag family, real life drag family from Dublin, and then publishing family, and then born family, and then found family. And I was looking at all these people mixing together and thinking how wonderful, how lucky I am, and how wonderful. That was such a great moment.
It's at moments like those that you realize that there are a lot of unseen hands that hold us up and help us get to where we need to go.
Yeah, and our friends are so important. You know, we really need to sort of treasure them.
I feel like I found a literary friend. Oh. And I'm so glad that you're going to be a friend on my bookshelf for at least 5 more books.
Oh, I'm so happy. Thank you so much.
I said, Kitty Murphy, thank you so much for coming on to Radio Gorgeous, and great good luck with your Dublin Drag Mystery Series.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. It's been gorgeous.
Radio Gorgeous. For other great stories by phenomenal women, go to www.radiogorgeous.com.